Welcome to Cornerstone. We're glad you've joined us. Today, we'll be hearing from a special guest speaker. Listen in and be encouraged as we spend some time in God's Word together.
Good morning. We'll be in John chapter 9 this morning. So if you would turn or scroll there, we'll read our verses in just a moment. As Jeremy mentioned, my name is Jeff Pauley, and I'm one of the elders here at Cornerstone. For those of you who might be visitors or relatively new to our congregation, our church is in a period of transition. Our founding pastor of 20 years recently moved on to the role of district superintendent for the Evangelical Free Church, Texas and Oklahoma region. So we're actively seeking a new senior pastor and waiting on God's timing for him to fulfill that desire of our hearts. So over the summer, we've had the opportunity to hear from a number of speakers filling pulpit supply for us each Sunday. And I think it's been a great opportunity for us to hear the exposition of our word each week from different perspectives, differing styles, and I know I personally have benefited from the variety. We'll be continuing this pulpit supply through the fall with various speakers, both from within our congregation and some other area pastors. So starting next week, Keith Bauer, who you know well, he's preached up here numerous times, he'll kick off a new series. We'll be walking through the book of Mark that will take us through the end of November. But this Sunday, though, I want to take a more topical approach, as this Sunday is our traditional ministry kickoff for our fall season, where all of our ministries, as Jeremy mentioned, are starting up and getting people interested for signups. So our verse this morning is John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. And if you would please stand for the reading of the word. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who had previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "It is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." And he kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would be with us this morning, that you would open our minds and our hearts to your word and what you would have us to learn, and just that you would just continue to be with us as a congregation during this time of transition. Help us to see the opportunities that you are opening before us and just be ready and willing to seize those opportunities for the spread of the gospel into our communities. So we just raise this time now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry. I'm already on the next sentence. You guys are still standing up. In the movie It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey dreamed of traveling the world. The whole town knew of his desire to see the wonders of the world and to put destination stickers on his suitcase. It was a grand expectation that he had desired for many, many years, and it was about to come to pass when the Great Depression hit. Suddenly, he was forced to change his plans and remain in Bedford Falls to keep his family savings and loan from going under like so many other banks of that era. But as the movie progresses, we see how this unmet expectation turns out to be a blessing, not only for George, but for the whole town of Bedford Falls. In George's role at the savings and loan, he was able to impact everyone in town through his generosity and is a thread of integrity that binds the community into a loving whole. But he doesn't see these positives at first. It takes a personal crisis of faith for him to see how blessed he is and how much of an impact he has had on the town of Bedford Falls. We have all suffered disappointment and been frustrated by life circumstances. And I think we can all relate to the disappointment of unmet expectations. That family member who didn't recover from a long-term illness, that job opportunity that never manifested itself, that relationship that didn't turn out quite the way you thought, and the list can go on and on. So I don't think I'm going to tell you anything new this morning about how disappointment is part of the human experience. But what I do hope to show us is how we can and should view these situations from a biblical perspective, both for our own lives and for our roles here at Cornerstone. So, because just as an individual will travel through seasons of life, so too will any organization go through periods of growth, stagnation, fruitfulness, and simply times of just radical change. And even within this context, there can be unmet expectations that don't turn out the way that we originally hoped, but in hindsight, can turn out to be God-ordained events that are a catalyst for growth, change, and preparation for new and expanded ministry. We have a similar circumstance in our scripture passage this morning. Although we're not told anything about the blind man prior to his encounter with Jesus, I think we can say he probably had disappointments in life. The text tells us that he had been blind from birth, so his deformity would have excluded him from all forms of normal Jewish life. He would have been forced to live among the outcasts of society without any hope for a normal family life or interaction with his peers. In addition, he would have been burdened by the additional guilt due to the prevailing view within Judaism that physical deformities and ailments were punishment from God due to sin. This view is articulated clearly in verse 2 when the disciples asked Jesus whether it was this man's sin or his parents that caused him to be born blind. This view is not restricted to ancient Judaism. It's alive and well in modern times because it is human nature to try to understand the circumstances of life. When something bad happens to us, it's natural, and sometimes our first reaction is to say, what did I do to cause this? Or what did I do to deserve to be put in this situation? In some cases, that's a valid question, because our mistakes or bad decisions can certainly put us into a situation that might truly be our fault. But Jesus' response to the disciples makes it very clear that sometimes our actions or even inactions have nothing to do with the position we find ourselves in. God is always moving and acting within the world and our lives, so many times it's by his design that we find ourselves in a particular situation. This is the case for the blind man in John 9. Verse 3 tells us, Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But regardless of the reason behind the disappointing circumstances we find ourselves in, the most important approach is to view these circumstances from a biblical perspective. God is always moving, and we can be sure that he expects us to be moving and growing as well when we are faced with new challenges. I think this is part of the reason that Jesus told the blind man to take specific actions before his sight was restored. Verse 6, when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Jesus could have healed him outright without any action on his part. But instead, Jesus instructed him to be an active part of his healing. Now, Jesus doesn't specifically give an explanation why, but I think we can see the value of this from our own shared human experience that we know that the best lessons are those that we actively partake in learning. I believe that God has provided some unmet expectations here at Cornerstone. We find ourselves in a season where we're not only dealing with the disappointment of our founding pastor moving on after 20 years, but now we're in the midst of a search for a new pastor that's taking significantly longer than we originally thought. The disappointment and uncertainty in this situation for our church is real, and I know that we have all felt it in different ways and at different times. But we must look at our position from God's perspective in realizing He is placing us with an immense opportunity for growth and development. We must seek to discover what lessons He has for us to learn and how He expects us to grow and develop in the process. He has called each and every one of us to participate in this transformation that is taking place within our congregation. In order to do that, we must look at some examples from the Bible to help us glean a proper perspective. This is good, since this is what we've been trained to do week after week for so many years since the founding of this church. So as I said previously, I don't feel I'm going to tell you anything that you haven't previously been taught, but simply remind you of the lessons from the Bible about disappointment of unmet expectations and how God can transform us through this refining time. So as we move and develop with His guidance in this process, He will create joy in our hearts because we are walking in His will. So I want to look at 3 points this morning, and the first one is disappointment yields perspective. Disappointment yields perspective. So first, I think we need to be realistic and admit that our agendas are not sovereign and that God is not constrained by them in the least. Sure, many of our desires are God-honoring and even God-given, like the desire to have a godly marriage or the desire to raise our children in the fear of the Lord and have them come to accept Christ as their Savior, or the desire to live out the light of the gospel in a world that's becoming increasingly dark and hostile to its message. But sometimes our more specific desires may not align with God's will for our lives, or that the expected timeline does not match His plans. Things like jobs, spouses, wanted possessions, or the timing of a pastoral search. And it's good to know that God is not constrained by our timelines, because many times the things He wants to give to us are magnitudes better than the things we believe we must have or need. We must be honest and admit that sometimes our view does not properly align with God's will for our lives, and we must be willing to humbly submit to the course that He has set, since we can be assured that His will is for our good and that the rewards for following His course will be above and beyond our expectation. So several examples from Scripture come to mind. First is the story of Joseph in Genesis chapters 37 through 45. It's a well-known story about Jacob's favored son who was sold into slavery by his brothers. I'm sure that's not how Joseph expected his life to turn out. I'm sure as he traveled on the slave caravan down to Egypt, he experienced some very profound disappointment in the circumstances he found himself in. It's no doubt that Joseph still trusted God, since Joseph later understood that God was with him as he interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh. But the reasons for the course of his life would not become apparent for many years later. God blessed Joseph, and he became second in authority only to Pharaoh and was placed in charge of grain production throughout Egypt. During a famine that spread throughout the world, Jacob sent Joseph's brothers down to Egypt and were required to buy the grain from Joseph. After some initial tests that Joseph required his brothers to undergo, he revealed himself and God's plans became clear. Genesis 45, verse 5, "Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by great deliverance. Now therefore, it is not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt." So through his initial disappointment, Joseph learned to see with a new perspective and realized that God had ordered his life in order to prepare for God's future needs. The need to preserve his family so that God's promises to Abraham would be fulfilled, and in that God's timing, he would have a joyous reunion with his family and watch them prosper in Egypt. Another example of changed perspective through disappointment is how the disciples misunderstood the purpose of Christ's first coming. In their understanding, the coming of the Messiah would bring about the overthrow of Rome and the establishment of an earthly kingdom for Israel. Even after the profound disappointment of watching Jesus being led away and crucified, and experiencing the unimaginable joy of seeing and touching him in his resurrected form, the disciples still didn't get it. We can see this right before Jesus' ascension in Acts 1, verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" But in reality, the coming of the Messiah was not what the disciples had expected. He came as a suffering servant who was crucified on the cross by the very people who had been waiting for him for hundreds of years. He had come to be the sacrificial lamb not only for the nation of Israel, but for all the nations of the world. The disciples would learn this in time after Christ's ascension, but it would take their initial disappointment, refined by the passage of time, for them to truly understand the working of God's purposes. Disappointment in the moment is real, and we don't want to discount the emotional pain that is associated with it. It's natural and comes with the loss of long-held expectations. But that emotional trauma is sometimes required in order for God to break us out of a particular way of thinking or viewing the world. As a congregation, we know these emotions and experiences all too well. The initial shock and surprise of Brent's departure created a wide spectrum of emotions, and we all felt them at different times and in different ways. It would be easy to understand how a congregation could become disoriented and despondent and disheartened in response to such unexpected news. However, that's not what happened. You responded well to these unexpected circumstances and have risen to the challenge that God has placed before us. You diligently continued to work into the ministries of this church. You continue to be open and welcoming to visitors each and every Sunday as you desire them to come to know Christ on an intimate level and to become part of our family here at Cornerstone. You have remained unified in the desire to fulfill this church's mission of changing lives through the truth of God's word and the love of God's people. You have remained unified in honorably following the leadership of this church as we have navigated in uncertain waters, even when those decisions may not have been to your liking. So I want to commend you for maintaining a sense of unity and encourage you to be steadfast in the months and weeks to come. For with this godly attitude, I truly believe that God will prepare our hearts to be filled with joy and wonder at the future he will bring. So we want to see disappointment yields perspective, but also that waiting produces transformation. Waiting produces transformation. We know from our own personal experiences and the experiences we can see around us in nature that transformation takes time. Just like the butterfly that must spend many days and weeks in the cocoon to make the transition from a caterpillar, dramatic change takes time to manifest itself. We can think back on our own lives and remember seasons where the stresses, disappointments, and tragedies of our life have transformed us. We see the same process play out in numerous examples in Scripture. We see in Moses, after being exiled from Egypt, he spent 40 years in the desert where God transformed him into a leader that would one day stand before Pharaoh and lead his people out of Egypt. We see this in David, where a shepherd boy learned to be a leader during the time that Saul sat on the throne and developed into become a true king of Israel that sought after the heart of God. We see it in Paul, the persecutor of the early church, who then spent 3 years in the desert where his knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ was transformed to prepare him for the ministry to the Gentiles. It is not God's intent that we remain static and unchanging. The whole purpose behind his plan of salvation that is articulated in the pages of Scripture is transformation. Paul tells us in Romans 12, 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." The book of Genesis tells us that humanity fell into sin and death through their rebellious disobedience in the Garden of Eden. And because of that disobedience, each of us were born into a condition of sin. From that point, hundreds of generations of human history were set in motion and guided by God in order for that Jesus, the Son of God, to come at the appointed time. He came to earth as a human being, lived a sinless and perfect life, but even so suffered death on a cross as punishment for our sins so that we could be afforded the benefit of receiving God's grace. And this same grace that is the power to save us is the same grace by which day by day we can be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. This gift of God's grace is available and free to all. If you have not come to accept this grace and know Christ as your Savior, I invite you to do so this morning. It is as straightforward as acknowledging your sin before God and accepting Christ as your Savior. And if you take that step this morning, I encourage you to speak with one of our staff or elders after service so that we can move you on the next step in your spiritual walk. Just speak to anyone here this morning and they can point you in the right direction. So just as God doesn't want us to remain as individuals untransformed in our sins, God doesn't want us to remain static and unchanging as a church. Brent mentioned this several times, as to whether or not he was here, changes were going to be required at Cornerstone. They were inevitable and necessary. Now, in hindsight, we can look back and realize that those changes are more significant maybe than we originally thought. Instead of just some minor adjustments to some of our ministries or improving our efficiencies in some operational processes, God has ordained a refining time for us as a church. It's a time for deep reflection on who we are as a church, a time for reflecting upon everything we do and considering how it contributes to the outward projection of our mission statement into our community. How are we living out our changed lives for our love for God and our love for each other so that those in our neighborhoods can be changed and transformed as well by God's grace? Now, I don't believe this extraordinary period of transformation to which God has placed us is due to any deep-seated sin within our church or some misguided direction that we have taken in our ministry approaches. Sure, there are always things to correct, always things to ask forgiveness for, but just like the blind man in our passage, sometimes God simply ordains a season of waiting for his sovereign purposes. Sometimes God has plans for a future time where he will move in a very visible way through his human agents, but those pieces must be put in place first before his plans can come to fruition. I believe that Cornerstone is in one of those seasons of preparation right now. After 20 years of ministry and growth, after moving from a movie theater to this wonderful property we have today, after transitioning through numerous staff changes and seeing the growth in our congregation both in numbers and spiritual maturity, and even having a COVID pandemic thrown in there for good measure. After all of this, God has brought us to a point where we are ready for his next steps. He has grown us and sustained us through these years so that we would come to this day and be ready for the transformation he has planned for us to make in the months and years to come. A transformation that'll see greater reach and impact of the gospel into our communities than we have seen in the past 20 years. Now, I'm sure you're asking, what is this transformation we must undergo? What are these changes we must make in order to be ready for God's movement in our church? The honest answer is, I don't think we know yet. I wish I did on a human level, because then we could make clear strategy and action plan to make those changes that are necessary. But we don't yet know how God is moving and towards what direction he is taking us. Just as the blind man waiting for Jesus to arrive to give him his sight, we are not yet at a point where we can see God's vision for us. But what I do know for sure is each and every one of you is part of this change. Each of you has been placed in this church today and especially gifted to play a part in the new directions here at Cornerstone. Whether you've been at this church for 20 years or 20 minutes, you are here to play a part in this transition. It may be that it's not so much a transformation of the structure of this church, but a transformation of its people. Perhaps God is seeking to transform each and every one of us in unique and individual ways so that collectively this church becomes a renewed force for the gospel that he can use in new creative ways in the next era at Cornerstone. So while we're waiting on God's timing to provide us a new senior pastor, diligently seek God's guidance on how he desires for you to be transformed during this season of waiting. So far we've seen how disappointment can give us a new perspective and how waiting on God's timing can create transformation in our lives. For the final point this morning, we want to explore how delay can provide opportunity. Delay can provide opportunity. If we think about our own lives, I'm sure we can remember a circumstance where delayed opened up unforeseen opportunities. Perhaps a job offer you were fully expecting to get that didn't materialize, but it allowed a new one to present itself. Or that missed airline flight that afforded you the possibility to meet your future spouse. I can think of a couple examples here at Cornerstone where an unexpected car repair or arriving at the wrong time for a movie allowed different people to become a part of this church. Now, we must be honest and admit that what we see as a delay is simply God working on his own timing to bring his plans to fruition. God is never late. He intercedes into human history and into our individual lives in his perfect timing to weave a perfect tapestry of events that displays his sovereign purposes. Scripture has numerous examples of quote-unquote delay that provide opportunities for God to work. In the Old Testament, we find Daniel in Babylon during the time of Israel's exile. Taken as a young man, he spent most of his life in a foreign land waiting on God's deliverance of his people. During this quote-unquote delay, Daniel was able to influence two major political powers of his time and become a conduit for God's prophetic word to illuminate God's future plans for those of us in the future. In the New Testament, Jesus operated, at least from the disciples' perspective many times, on what appeared to be a strange timetable. We see this in John 11 when Jesus is told that Lazarus is sick and near death. Jesus purposely delayed his arrival so that Lazarus would die, thus providing an opportunity for him to raise Lazarus from the dead and demonstrate yet another miracle that he was the promised Messiah. Even today, we live in a time between Christ's ascension and his second coming, where he has delayed his return to provide opportunities to share the gospel with the Gentile nations. This is the period of the church age, when the whole world has been given the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel. And each one of us here in this room is fruit of this delay because someone shared the good news with us. And in the same manner, it provides us opportunities each and every day, both personally as individuals and corporately as a congregation, to spread the good news of Christ into our neighborhoods. This is not a time to run from the changes and uncertainties that surround us, but a time to embrace the opportunities before us. So as Jeremy mentioned, as you go out today, you'll be handed a ministry guide that has a listing of all of the opportunities here at Cornerstone to get plugged in, to serve, and just be part of what God is doing here today. So I just want to go over those briefly and highlight those so that you're all aware of those. So the guide is structured in kind of our strategic flow for people here at Cornerstone as you become members. We're hoping you will gather together, you will grow in your understanding of the word, you'll give back to service of the church, and that you will go and share the gospel with others. So for the gather piece of that, that's our home team ministry. That's our small groups. Those are, six or seven families that meet twice a month, usually on Fridays and Sundays, in different people's homes throughout the community. for a time of fellowship and prayer and food. There's always food. So this is really a place for you to get connected with members of this church. If you're new here, this is your best avenue for really getting plugged in, to getting to know different families within Cornerstone. And it's also the mechanism by which we care for you as a church. Prayer is a very important part of this, as you get to know what your needs are within your life so that we can help support you as a congregation. This is the mechanism through which that occurs. So there's 9 groups to choose from. And as you go out, the table on the left is a place where you can sign up. You can get an idea of what the different groups are, when they meet, whether or not they have childcare. So I highly encourage you to take that step of getting signed up for a home team. The next section is grow. We want you to grow in your knowledge of Scripture while you're here at Cornerstone. And that's really done through 2 mechanisms, Bible studies and adult Bible fellowship. As Jeremy mentioned, our men's and women Bible studies are gearing up here in a couple weeks. The women will be walking through the book of Numbers, and they meet on Wednesday mornings and Wednesday evenings. And the men will be walking through the book of Romans, and they meet on Thursday evenings and Friday mornings. So look for the sign up for those. The adult Bible fellowship class meets every Sunday, second hour. So right now, means you'd have to come to first service to go to ABF, in upstairs. And it's a time of additional Bible study, a little larger group setting, but is very interactive. Another good place to get to know people here at Cornerstone. And they'll be working through the book of Acts this fall. So the next section is give. We desire that you give back to Cornerstone in service. And there are numerous opportunities listed in the guide, children's ministry, usher team, hospitality, so forth. So this is an opportunity for you to serve and give back to the community here at Cornerstone. And it's really important because it allows us to be efficient as a church so that our ministries don't have any hindrances as we go out into the community, or that our Sunday morning services flow efficiently so that people can hear the gospel, that they can hear the word and not be hindered by things that don't particularly work right. And then lastly is the go piece. We desire that we all are out there in our communities spreading the gospel. And there's numerous things in the guide, but I just want to highlight our fall festival is coming up in October, on October 22nd. This is the time we open our campus to our community. Lots of candy for the kids, bounce houses, you name it. It's been a really big draw the past couple of years, so we need a lot of volunteers to make this run well. So I encourage you to look for opportunities to sign up to help with that. So as I mentioned, and Jeremy mentioned, you'll be getting one of these as you leave. So I just ask that you take these home and prayerfully consider where you can become involved here at Cornerstone. If you're new to our congregation, this is really a good opportunity to get plugged into a ministry opportunity and a home team. If you've been here a while, it's an opportunity maybe to try something new or step back into a ministry that maybe you've stepped back from a while ago. Next week, there'll be some tables out in the lobby after service with representatives from each one of these ministries to answer questions, talk to you about what it means to serve. So my hope is that you'll engage with them and really sign up for something and to get involved here at Cornerstone, even if it's in a small way. In this way, each of us can be an active and joyful participant in the movement that God is going to work through us into the surrounding communities. So we should rejoice when God does not meet our expectations. That's why the book of James tells us to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking for nothing. We should rejoice because he has bigger and better blessings for us if we will have the faith and patience to wait on his timing. He has new perspectives to form for us so that we maybe see his hand working to bring about his sovereign plan. He desires that we be transformed into an ever clearer image of Christ so that the lost will be drawn towards our outward expression of his love like moths to a flame. And he desires that we take hold of the opportunities before us so that we may be ready to reap the harvest that he has sown. After the blind man was healed, he returned from the Pool of Siloam, and some of his neighbors did not recognize him. In verse 8, therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "It is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." And he kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." So in one way, we should be like the blind man, in that those around us should see us as different people because we have been transformed by Christ. However, we are not like the blind man because we know who Jesus is, and we know the joy that can be brought to our lives through the redemption that he offers. Allow these days of trial to alter our perspectives and to seize the opportunities to share the gospel in new ways to those around us, so that we can tell them, "I know where Jesus is. Let me help you find him as well."
Thanks for spending some time with us today. For further information about today's podcast or our church in general, please visit us at cornerstonecbc.org. That's cornerstonecbc.org. Thanks. See you next time.